Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 5th, 2022. This is Fightful Wrestling. It is list and your boy. We have Jimmy Van here. Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing good, Sean Ross Sapp. I told you off the air, this is my first attempt at a stand-up desk. So Sean's like, oh, but 20 minutes from now, you're going to be sitting down. No, I think it'll be okay. I think I got a pinch nerve.
Yeah.
So I am attempting to work it out myself before I have to go to a chiropractor. So that's why I'm going to attempt this and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work.
I am doing the latter very, very soon. I had some other things I needed to square away first, but I've got some nerve issues as well. I was doing a little bit of work to get back in the ring and my body was not agreeing with it. So there's some things that I've got to fix myself. So I might look into one of those myself, but you know what? I have a better investment for people. FightfulSelect.com. It's only $5. We had news of a big signing today. Not only that, if you want your question, your statement read on the air, but you're not here for shows, well, we have options all around. How about this? Humperchats.com, that gets your question or statement read on the air. You can leave Humper Chats before we go on the air. You can donate Super Chats here on YouTube. There is a bit of a new method sometimes where you've got to click the little metal, but otherwise it's the same as usual. But hey, how about this? Maybe you want to ask more questions every week. Well, I do a Q&A show almost every week. I say almost every week because next week I'll be in Toronto. I'll be hanging out with Jimmy Van. We'll be doing a couple of live shows. But I think he'll also be doing a Q&A. But Grapsody has a Q&A every other week that they do as well now. So you're getting more and more. We're more interactive than we've ever been before. So we encourage you guys, Super Chats, Humper Chats, send us some love. Matt Reichiel gets us started out by saying, Happy National Scissoring Day, Sean. Jimmy, do you want to? You can't do it right.
No.
Says, just got my flu shot, so resting, but this Sammy on Andrade mess is stupid. Supposed adults acting like children. I think that's the big thing. Like, I didn't even really touch this that much because I'd covered one Sammy backstage squabble already, and he was very transparent, and I actually respected his transparency. Of course I did. I got to post it on FightfulSelect.com. This one, I wasn't quite sure. I was like, was this a miscommunication? Was it real? Was it shoot? I'm still working through all that. And I mean, all it takes is a couple of guys to text each other. Hey, brother, brother, let's work the marks, et cetera, that type of thing. But what are you thinking of, Jimmy? Because I can tell that you were outspoken about this.
If it's a shoot, it's stupid. If it's a work, it's even more stupid. And yeah. you know what's funny is I swear to God, Sean, I thought Sammy was like 25 years old.
I honestly did too.
Yes.
I remember seeing Sammy for the first time SummerSlam weekend 2017. And that was over 5 years ago. And I guess I thought he was like 20 then. But yes. he's 29 years old. Jimmy, anytime you're mad at me, I'm just a dumb kid.
And did I ever get, I got blistered for that because I said he's an immature kid because he is. Mm-hmm. And I got blistered for that because I didn't know he's going to be 30 next year. I had no idea. And the only thing I'm going to say is this, man. 2 years ago, Sammy Guevara might have been my favorite performer in the company 2 years ago because he was so funny and charismatic, and his chemistry with the Inner Circle was fantastic. You know, singing Judas and always trying to break Jericho. And obviously Tony Khan thought a lot of him because he became a multi-time TNT champion. So he saw the potential in him, and everybody talked about the four pillars. I think this year professionally has been a major step backward for Sammy Guevara. It's been a good year personally because he got married,
Sure. Congrats for that, by the way.
Yeah, professionally, I think it's been a bad year for him. I think that his marquee and his stock now is not what it was 2 years ago. And when you hear about, okay, first there was the Sasha Banks comments a couple of years ago, the Eddie Kingston thing this year, now the Andrade thing. He looks like a spoiled child. And I'm not gonna mince words. He looks like a spoiled child. And Tony Khan's got to get a grip on this stuff. You know what I mean? Because there's been example after example after example of this kind of shit happening in the AEW locker room. They got to try to get a grip. And I want to say one thing. So some people tried to defend, I guess, AEW by saying, well, what about Shawn Michaels? Because there were some people that came out and said, well, Vince McMahon never would have allowed this, right? And people said, what about Shawn Michaels? What have I told you before? When you are a manager, sometimes you have to eat shit for your top performers because that's reality. Yep. Shawn Michaels was a main eventer. He was the top draw in the company. So Vince had to kind of tolerate a shit. Sammy Guevara is not a main eventer. He is not a top draw. He's not even getting reactions live anymore. And so he should have a way shorter leash than a guy like Shawn Michaels in his prime. Tony Khan needs to sit down with him and he needs to say, stay the fuck off Twitter. Stay the fuck off Twitter. If you got a problem with somebody, you go to them and you talk to them about it. You don't post this bullshit on Twitter. He needs to fucking grow up. And that's all I can say about it. I saw all the stuff you put on Twitter. Andrade seemed to be pretty cool about it. And I think Sammy tried to claim, you know, bullshit. You never came to me. And then that reporter said, yes, he did. Cause I was standing there when he did. So he needs to grow up, man. When I saw that he's going to be 30 next year, you can't use the immature kid excuse anymore. So he's got to grow up. That's all there is to it. It would be fantastic, and they won't do it, but it would be fantastic if Tony handled this the way that Vince handled Hunter when he felt assured to punish somebody over the curtain call, because he saw the professionalism that Hunter had, because Hunter basically ate shit for 3 months.
Yes.
I'd like to see, how do you think Sammy Guevara would handle it if he goes on job duty for 2 months on television, Sean? How do you think he would handle it?
I don't know, because he didn't seem keen on the Impact creative whenever he was sent that direction as well.
Right.
I can tell you that my interactions with Sammy have all been positive. I have not yet had a negative interaction with him. And I don't think that Twitter provides the full scope of either one of these guys, either Andrade or Sammy Guevara. So I don't know if that's necessarily fair. I do like the comparison that you made to Shawn Michaels. Like, there have been people that have been on our staff where I'm like, you know, I really don't like dealing with this. And then I'm like, well, I deal with it because they're very good at what they do. Right. And that's why you let that slide. And that's why you give a little more lenience there. As far as the getting off of Twitter thing, ultimately, he is an adult. I can tell you, I have tweeted about 25% as much in October as I was in September. Granted, September was the biggest professional month of my life, but it has been overwhelmingly positive that I have stayed off of Twitter more and more and more. All due respect to the wonderful people that we have following us there, really enjoy interacting with them. But this is a thing that it was the prevailing thought that I saw on social media, like Kazim Famuyiwa Day. I love him. I think that he is a brilliant guy and he's responsible for a lot of really good creative moments. He's like, I'm just begging you all, one good storyline, not this work shoot stuff, or just keep it off. Once the Punk Elite thing happened, I think you scale that shit back. You scale that shit back because nothing is going to be more interesting than what happened there. And that wasn't a storyline. So I'm sorry, but whatever you do after that is going to feel like either a knockoff or just less entertaining than what the real thing. Like I had to explain, I bought a vehicle the other day, had to explain to the guy, yeah, I cover pro wrestling, but actually a lot of the things that we cover are fights that happen backstage that are more interesting than what we see on screen sometimes. And then he says, well, how do you know it's not fake? And I'm like, well, that's the thing. And that's where we are in this one. I don't know necessarily who was referring to who. And you got to remember, a lot of the time when Sammy says this wild shit, it's just him promoting a vlog. Like, that's it. That's the long and the short of it. He has an incredibly successful vlog. And I'm not talking like for wrestling. I'm talking like in general, his vlog is like very, very, very successful. And if he's like, I don't know, it might be time to quit. It's a vlog promo. That's what it is. So as far as that goes, I do think that the people should probably approach that differently. Like, for example, the title of Sammy's vlogs the last few weeks have been, let's see. Goodbye, friend. It's time to tell the truth. Is this the end? AEW, let's talk. Like, goodbye. Like, that's what he does. Like, what you didn't see on AEW, old friend and Cody Rhodes is the thumbnail of it. Like, that's just the way that some of this works for him.
I mean, let me ask you this. So, you know how people oftentimes they, even if it's black and white in front of their face, sometimes they still see gray. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like, it's like the White Rabbit stuff. There are people commenting saying, could it be Baron Corbin? Could it be Elias? I almost said Elias Theodoro. Could it be Elias Sampson? Right? Yeah. So people always want to see the gray. So even if Sam is doing that to promote a blog, if I'm Tony Khan and he's posting shit like, what did he say? You're a favor hire.
Yeah.
All this. Why would you promote him? If you're Tony Khan, why are you putting him on television? You know what I mean? I wouldn't.
Once it goes into the realm of wrestling is fake, but this is real, that's where I hate it. That's where I hate it. I don't like any of that shit because I'm watching a TV show. And all due respect to Sammy and Andrade, they ain't Deadpool. And I don't get them looking at the camera and being like, fake type of thing. It ain't for me.
Yeah. Again, if it's a work, it's really stupid. But if it's a shoot, then Sammy just needs to talk to Andrade in the locker room. You don't do this bullshit. You know what I mean?
Sammy can be, I think he can be a top talent. Like
100%. I mean, you know what's funny? Good. One of the things I said on Twitter that seemed to ruffle feathers for some reason, I said 2 years ago, he was on the verge of superstardom.
He was.
I believe that he was, yeah. Right? And again, that's why he was the TNT champion because Tony Khan saw it too. He was on the verge of superstardom and he's really taken a step, I think a major step backward professionally. And this might be one of the reasons why. But he's not, you know, he's not 17. If you have a problem with somebody, you go talk to them on Wednesday when you're at the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
I'm in agreement with that. And I didn't dig too far into this. I mean, the people that I spoke to, and I'll have more on this today, just weren't thrilled that the situation was being put out there. And again, FightfulSelect.com, I'll have an update on the reaction to that today. It's just like, man, like I think that Sammy and Andrade are two just miraculously talented performers. Just so good. I'm okay with building something on social media because that's the age we live in. There's going to be people building feuds on TikTok for the next 5-6 years as well. It just happens. Joel says, it's peak comedy to me that Sammy accuses Andrade of getting hired by AEW because of Rick when Rick couldn't get himself hired by AEW. Yeah, that much I can say. Ric Flair had nothing to do with AEW hiring Andrade. Andrade got hired because he's one of the best talents in the world He's remarkably charismatic. That's why. KE775 says, do you think we'll be seeing any call-ups from NXT soon? Yeah, I think we're going to see Legado called up. I think Toxic Attraction will come up full-time as well. Jeremy says, I haven't checked or I've checked anything for a few hours. Did anybody say anything about Tony Khan calling Andrade a terrible guy? If it's the work, that's still BS.
No way.
I haven't seen that at all.
No way. I would be shocked if you publicly said that about a talent.
Let
no
me
way.
See.
No way.
Somebody please send me that quote if that's a thing. Like, did I miss that?
I think there's no way. Tony Khan's way smarter than that, I think.
Yeah. Collins, our good friend, says, if everyone has a problem with you, you're the problem, right? With the tie overly PDA on screen to the feuds with folks backstage. Does this paint Sammy in a positive way anyway? How can you spin this? Jimmy, have you seen Superbad?
Yes, a long time ago, yes.
Okay, there's a character. So Seth Rogen's character is dating a high schooler.
Yes.
Aged even more horribly than it was then. It was already bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes there And there's this jock that is like talking to his girlfriend. And this jock is like, don't worry, bro. I'll watch her ass for you next year at college. And it's the guy that Seth Rogen is jealous of. I always thought that was a good Sammy character. That guy, he's pretending to be nice to you, but you know what he's doing. Mm. You know he's a piece of shit deep down. And I think that's the way they got to spin it on TV. I think that's the way you got to do it, is that you play off of all those criticisms. That's what the Young Bucks did. You don't like him doing super kicks, they're going to do 100 of them. You don't like him doing flips, they're going to flip before they rake somebody's back. So Sammy is as obnoxious as possible on screen.
And that's totally cool if they want to use that to get him over as a heel.
Yeah.
So far, there's been no story, no opportunity for comeuppance. He's in the shadows. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but if that's what they're thinking, is that they're going to spin it and make him like you said, like a chicken shit heel, fine.
Doug says, hey, Sean, any plans on doing a get together for the Toronto show? Not an official one. I might like go to a pub or something like that shortly before and say, hey, guys, this is where I'm headed. But nothing in the official aspect of that. There's a lot of stuff we got to work out. But I think eventually we'll do one of those.
I got a great idea. How about you go to the Rec Room on October 12th?
I would love that.
And you can help promote Black Adam that night, Sean.
I would love that.
That's when The Rock is there. Yeah, that's when The Rock is going to be there. Before he walks down the aisle on Dynamite Live, right?
It was Pineapple Express I was talking about, not Super Bad. Okay. That's my bad.
Okay.
But yeah. Jake says Wrestling Inc. posted that in a kayfabe interview yesterday. Well, I wish I could get an interview with Tony Khan. Somebody sends me that. I don't think he would say that legitimately. Ryan says, speaking of Andrade, does anyone find it bizarre that he says he could have Charlotte talk to Triple H for him when it comes to keeping in contact in case he goes back there? Don't know why he'd admit that publicly. I don't know why he'd admit it publicly, but I mean, it's common sense. Like, sometimes I admire the fact that people... Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
We'll say just whatever it is that people know. Like, I just appreciate that sometimes.
Let me ask you this, Sean. So Rampage this Friday, they're doing Andrade against 10. And the stipulation is if 10 loses, he loses the mask. And if Andrade loses, he leaves AEW. And there's a lot of people, of course, that are like, oh, this is it. This is it. Right.
Here's the quote. He says, Andrade is a terrible guy. If he loses this match, he would leave AEW forever. Frankly, the way things have gone with Andrade and the way things have carried on, I think a lot of people might not mind that, but it'll be an interesting situation to follow. I'm shocked that he even said that in character.
Yeah,
honestly,
he meant it in character. And I agree.
But yeah, it's, you ask him one question on an interview and he goes off for the next 10 minutes promoting everything else. So I'm not surprised.
Well, anyway, everybody seems to think that it's a foregone conclusion. Andrade's going to lose to 10 and leave AEW. And to me, I look at it like, do people forget what a contract is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, it seems a foregone conclusion that Ten's going to lose the mask because he needs to do that to evolve as a character, yeah, as a performer. But everybody is convinced this is it for Andrade. He's got a, do you know the terms of his contract? I mean, he's got a contract.
I know some of the terms, but not enough to comfortably report.
Okay.
But okay, yeah, but I'm going to work on getting some more on that. As far as 10, I think if he loses his mask, I think a really good approach would be, I can't remember if anybody else, I'm sure plenty of people have done it in Lucha and stuff, but Al Snow, when he was Avatar, would come out with the mask and then take it off for the match. I think that'd be a good way to pay homage to Brody Lee, but then also continue to evolve as well.
And Andrade does that too. Yeah, Andrade does that as well.
Joel Wood says, with Triple H liking tag team wrestling more than Vince did, do you think they have any potential to be what the AEW's tag division is? Yeah, absolutely. I think they have the potential to be what AEW's tag division was. I think that they don't, AEW doesn't quite have the depth that they once had because the Young Bucks are out and LAX aren't around to do anything anymore. One of them's hurt and FTR aren't getting booked. So
it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. They were amazing, so hot.
I absolutely think that. I absolutely think that. But you know what? You can return your browsing experience to its glory days thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. 4 additional months free. 30-day money-back guarantee. Works on all of your devices. Well, you might be saying, what works on all my devices? NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click. Gain access to a lot more content. Content at a much more affordable price. You get that online threat protection. Blocks online trackers. Malware. Annoying pop-up ads. All with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get a VPN, a pass, a locker, or all three with NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling over the next couple weeks. I already have. Went from Cleveland back to Kentucky, did Cincinnati last week, got Toronto next week. I'll be in and out of Detroit and Charlotte, back to Cincinnati. When I'm on that unsecured Wi-Fi, on that hotel, airport Wi-Fi, I want to make sure I'm safe. NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. And also, I'm not going to miss any of my favorite shows because I'm able to change my virtual location with just one click. NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can also use that promo code Fightful. Probably my favorite sponsor that we have. Use it every single day.
I want to send condolences to the family and friends of Antonio Inoki, who passed away last Friday at the age of 79. And I know a lot of people that watch this podcast, they might not be overly familiar with him. They might not be familiar about his history. And I want to give some high level detail because he was a fascinating dude.
Sure was.
So just some high level detail. So there was a guy in the 50s in Japan. He was known as Ricky Dozan. And he was Japan's maybe biggest wrestling star of all time. Like he was kind of like the forefather of pro wrestling in Japan. Two of his top students, one of them was a guy that went on to be known as Giant Baba. And the other was Antonio Inoki.
Another legend.
Another legend, yeah. And when Ricky Dozan was killed, he was stabbed by a member of the Yakuza in a nightclub and ended up dying. When he was killed, Baba and Inoki left his promotion and started their own. And Inoki started New Japan Pro Wrestling. Baba started All Japan Pro Wrestling. And they were the two, you know, premier companies in Japan for decades. New Japan still is the top company there today. And Inoki, he's a legendary wrestling figure in Japan. He became a politician, promoter. He did the Muhammad Ali fight back in 76. Yeah. He promoted the two shows to WCW in North Korea, where they did over 100,000 spectators because it was mandatory. They had to go, but they did over 100,000 a show. Guy was a legend, and he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. So what a run. What a run. One of the all-time greats from Japan. So condolences to his family.
Huge condolences. I thought he was even older than what he was, but man, just I said this last week. It's on New Japan World. Please, if you go out of your way to watch one match this week, watch Antonio Inoki versus Billy Robinson. That's a match that I studied an awful lot because of the background I came from, and that's really what introduced me to the true body of Antonio Inoki's work beyond New Japan, beyond the stuff that I knew, obviously, about him making Vader. Like, he made Vader, and it transcended into America. But the guy is, I would say, one of the five most important people in pro wrestling history probably at this point, because of what he did and all that he accomplished and the scene that he cultivated and what we have today. So I want to send our condolences and our love to his friends, his family, his fans. But man, Antonio Inoki, like beyond wrestling, Jimmy, he transcended everything. Like he had respect from the MMA world, yep. All that. I mean, you would see when Lyoto Machida was coming up, he came up in the New Japan Dojo and you would see that video of Antonio Inoki slapping him as well. Then of course he main evented the most watched, whatever you want to say. It was the most watched wrestling match in person ever for Collision in Korea. Just unbelievable the footprint that he has on wrestling and will have probably forever on wrestling, because I mean, it's just that he changed the landscape and New Japan has been a viable option for people in America, for people in Japan, for as long as I've been around. And man, just an incredible loss. An incredible loss.
And if you guys want to be entertained for a few minutes, go on YouTube, look up Antonio Inoki versus the Great Antonio.
Oh my God.
Look that up.
Listen, that's what I first saw of Antonio Inoki. Yep. Besides like video games that I would end up playing and seeing, that ass whipping that he uncorked on the Great Antonio. It was a viral clip because Bill Burr, who is a comedian, talked about it
recently.
Within the last 10 years, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bill Burr, like, did a recap of it.
Oh, he did? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was really good. But the Great Antonio was not long for this wrestling world after he got his ass whipped.
Yes, he deserved it, too. I mean, he no-sold drop kicks, everything. He deserved it.
They had wrestled each other before, too, which is the wild thing.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
They had worked with each other before. But man, what? How dumb do you gotta be?
Oh yeah.
Like he was dumb enough to do it, but you had to know what was coming your way, right? Like you had to know what was coming your way.
And Inoki gave him opportunity. It's not like he no-sold once. You know what I mean? Inoki gave him opportunity, and he continued to no-sell, and so Inoki took care of business. And it was fascinating. That's a fascinating clip.
But some of his greatest matches, the Vader match in 96, when Vader was just in between WCW and WWF, that's one you got to watch. Fujinami from 88. He had a really great match against Hulk Hogan in the 80s as well. But like Masa Saito, Bob Backlund, Tenryu, there are so many iconic Antonio Inoki matches. That you can go out of your way, you can check out if they're available. Dory Funk Jr. in the 60s even, and a lot of these are like 2 out of 3 falls matches, so they're really extended. But man, what a loss. We have Ryan Martin sending in a super chat. Remember, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Before we get into this, I want to talk about some of the schedule changes we have over the next couple of weeks. So Will Washington filled in on this past week's Monday Night Raw show. I want to thank him for that. He's filling in for me next week because I'll be traveling. Also, I believe I'm not going to officially announce it, but I'll tentatively announce it. John Alba filling in for me on the AEW show next week as I'll be in Toronto. But this Saturday, we're going to have a triple feature. We're going to be on the air all day. Grapsody at noon, 3 p.m. Eastern. Denise and Steven Jensen will have the Bound for Glory post show. Normally, we'd be doing that right after the show on Friday, but SmackDown and Rampage are that night. Then Saturday night, myself and Denise are right back here for Extreme Rules, and you know we're going to have a ton of exclusives as it relates to that show because we've been reporting like all the news about Extreme Rules of late. Next Monday, Will Washington's filling in for me. Next Wednesday, John Alba's filling in for me. And then I'll be in Cincinnati for the Tuesday Dynamite after that. It looks like right now Kate and Alex are going to do like the old school hybrid NXT versus AEW post show that night. So a lot of cool stuff coming your way. A reminder, FightfulSelect.com. Rob Wilkins has been busting his ass over there doing pay-per-view preview shows as well. So check that out.
Sean, are you like getting air miles for all this stuff? You get racking up air miles?
I get my Orbitz bucks, and that doesn't amount to much. That much I tell you.
What about the credit card points when you put this stuff on a credit card?
I did get a credit card recently so I could get points. Uh-huh. I didn't do credit cards before that, but I'm trying
See what he does, because he thinks I don't know.
Muted. Ryan Martin says, can someone explain to me why FTR aren't being booked? Dax recently called out Tony after an indie match, and he said, Tony, we still work for you. Book us, brother. It makes no sense to me. Well, Tony and Dax have a really good relationship. That was a joke, just so you guys know. That was a joke, and I was like, well, that obviously that's going to get the headlines because the match isn't out yet. They didn't air the match live until people see what is being referred to, Jimmy, as one of the greatest tag team matches of all time. People can only take the snippets and the headlines. I do think they should be booked more, but that comment was just in jest. But I do agree they should be booked more. K775 says, do you expect Rollins to beat Lashley next Monday, win the U.S. title? Seems like something they do for the season premiere. I do. Now, if he loses Fight Pit, which I expect, yes, and wins the U.S. title, I don't know how I'll feel about it. I kind of like that if they're going to have him lose, but they want him to win the U.S. title, that they're setting it up before. Because Riddle could be like, why the hell didn't I get a title shot? I just beat him type of thing.
So they already kind of... So I think Cormier is going to play into the finish. Because they already hinted that Cormier is a Seth Rollins fan. And Cormier, yes. Cormier legitimately in the past has talked about it. When Seth cashed in Money to Make at WrestleMania, Cormier was there. And there was a video of him going apeshit when Rollins cashed in.
So I posted a video, sorry to interrupt, of a Q&A that Daniel Cormier crashed of CM Punk's, where he said, here's my question. Was that really Seth Rollins' number you gave me earlier?
Yes. Right. It's amazing. Right. So on Raw, they alluded to the fact that Cormier is a fan of Seth Rollins. I think that's going to somehow play into the finish on Riddle's side. And so I think Cormier is going to play into the finish. But it does make sense to me. Rollins, you know what? I was going to talk about this later, but let's talk about this now. Rollins did the interview with Ariel Helwani.
Great interview.
And he said that he feels like he's never been the guy in WWE. He said he feels like he's living in the Roman era. Mm-hmm. He's not wrong, because like Roman is clearly their number one guy. But I think in 2022, when it comes to who has outperformed who, I don't think it's close. I think Seth Rollins has greatly outperformed Roman Reigns in all aspects, in terms of match quality, in terms of finish quality, in terms of promos, in all aspects. And with all due respect to Roman, it's not necessarily his fault. I'm really tired of the match formula that Roman Reigns has had going, where the bloodline blatantly interferes every single time. I'm really tired of it. And so I think in 2022, Seth Rollins has very clearly outperformed Roman Reigns, but Roman is still WWE's top guy.
Roman's the biggest star in an ensemble cast right now, and he's got a lot more to play off of, and the sheer fact that Rollins is around more helps. I don't think that Rollins should probably give himself some more credit, because I really felt like in 2015, before his knee injury, between winning the title and his knee injury, I thought he was the guy. I thought that was very clear. WWE looked, and they said, this ain't working what we're doing. So let's rock with Rollins and have him cash in Money in the Bank. Now, as it turns out, Jimmy, all they needed to do was have Roman Reigns from the beginning do exactly what he's doing now. However, probably best considering, you know, the guy got leukemia, that things happened the way eventually that they did, because now he's able to have the run they've always wanted. But they spent 5 years trying to make Fetch happen with Roman Reigns, and then finally it did. But I think that he was the guy. I think Rollins was the guy there. Swaran says, just a little thanks for working hard for all the scoops and streams. Appreciate all the work, Sean, Jimmy, and the entire Fightful team. I appreciate you guys. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. We're going to have a lot more good scoops. I know a lot of you signed up for people getting bit and chairs being thrown at their faces. But I promise you guys, if you try it, you'll love it. I know we'll probably dip back down under 10,000 this week, but let's keep us up above that.
And never say we've peaked, Sean. Never say we've peaked.
I think we have.
Never say that.
Meh. But yeah, I think Rollins wins the title next week, by the way. Drew says, do you think the White Rabbit is revealed at Extreme Rules Raw season premiere or later? Which one is the right call in your opinion? I think the first of a big series of reveals is Extreme Rules. I was told the reveal at Extreme Rules. Then they stepped off the gas pedal a little bit over that. I don't know. Maybe there was some heat because it got out, but I could see them adjusting that as well now that I've reported it.
Let me ask you about this. So on Raw, they had the latest QR code, and there was a couple things that came out of that. One was they displayed the number 10-08-2022, which is the date of Extreme Rules. Another one was the picture of Samson and Delilah. And if anybody's not familiar with that, it's a biblical story. They were lovers. He revealed to her that his strength comes from his hair. She betrayed him, cut his hair, and gave him to his enemies kind of thing. Right after WrestleMania last year, when Alexa Bliss turned on Bray Wyatt posted another picture of Samson on Twitter. And so obviously that is the connection, the two pictures of Samson and Delilah. Here's my question for you, though. So they posted the picture of Samson and Delilah. He had posted the picture of Samson after Alexa turned on him. You don't think that they would have Bray Wyatt return and target Alexa? Because, like, what's the where are you going? Because the only thing I can possibly think of, if they did that, Alexa needs someone to defend her. And who's the wrestler on the roster that's got a connection to Alexa Bliss? Braun Strowman. Do we want to see that for the 18,000th time? No, we don't. So where do you, like, what's your opinion? Put on your creative hat for a second. What do you think is the optimum first program for Bray Wyatt?
So I think back to what Rollins said in that Helwani interview, that everybody that feuded with Bray Wyatt came out the worse for it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't think it should be Drew McIntyre. I don't think it should be Killer Cross, Karrion Kross. I think it needs to be somebody with a good name that people care about, and it needs to be rooted in some semblance of gravity and realism to where it doesn't make the other person look stupid or dumb and can afford to lose, but it will mean something if Bray Wyatt beats them, recruits them, takes them, whatever it may be. Oh man, it is
the other thing that they need to do.
Edge could be a good one, maybe, but
I mean, that might be interesting.
Yeah,
that might be interesting. They have to back away. So when Bray was being built as the Fiend, it was one thing when they did the mind game stuff, because that's cool, that was Undertaker's thing for years, that's fine. But with the Fiend, then they went to the point of he's immortal. He gets burned in the ring and he comes back. This kind of bullshit. Like, I think they got to back away from that. They can do the mind game stuff, but once he's in the ring, he's a man. And he can win and he can lose, just like The Undertaker. That, I think, will have legs, because I understand what Seth Rollins is saying. But if they just, the mind games builds the match, but he's a man when he's in the ring, he can win, he could lose, then it could have longevity. I don't want to see Bray and Braun Strowman. Do you, Sean? Does anybody? No.
I mean, no. If they were a group, I wouldn't mind it.
Sure.
I think that a group with Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Bray, and Braun could be really good. I think that could be at least, you know, highlight. I think that Kross and Braun as a team, sign me up for that with Wyatt leaving them. Like, I would love that. I think that'd be great. And then eventually you can spawn them off into top single stars. Scarlett can be versatile there. I would like to keep that sort of world of its own. I don't want anything that I look at and I can't believe. It's something Will and I talked about. Like, why didn't the Undertaker just electrocute people in the ring all the time? I don't want to see the worms on the projected onto the ring.
Yeah,
and
it was
all
stupid.
That stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stick with horror movie final boss and I'm fine. I said this on Monday, Jimmy. Where I live in Kentucky, I watched the Wyatt family, and I believe if I walked 10 minutes west into the woods, I could run into those three guys. And that was cool to me. It was not cool to me when they were doing disappearing acts and everything. It was cool to me when I was a little kid and I watched The Undertaker do it. But
right. Let me ask you this. I want to ask you a couple things related to Extreme Rules, because this is, I think, a very sought after pay-per-view. Like, I think it's a very in-demand pay-per-view.
Thank God it's on Saturday.
Too. On Saturday.
I love it.
Do you think that we are on the verge of seeing Brock Lesnar against Daniel Cormier in a WWE ring?
I do. I think we do get that eventually.
Saudi?
I think it will be in Saudi whenever it happens. And I think it's the right move. It's a guy that actually loves wrestling. It's another thing I talked about Monday. A whole lot of people got bamboozled because they're in the clip era of pro wrestling and they saw Cain Velasquez do a springboard arm drag in AAA and they thought, wow, he's up next. No, he sucked. He wasn't good. He was never going to be good. WWE figured out pretty soon that he wasn't going to be good. And they said, let's get this one match out of him. But they screwed up a whole plethora of booking for it. Do it. It doesn't need to be for a title. I don't care if Daniel Cormier is competing for a title. I don't want it. I just want to see him. I want to see interesting fights. I'm watching Anderson Silva fight Jake Paul in a few weeks, Jimmy. I just want to watch interesting fights.
Have you heard anything about Cormier's physical conditioning? Like, because I've heard he's been nursing injuries and stuff.
I was told that by somebody close to him, he would need to get in shape to do a WWE run.
That's okay, because Brock can go, man. Brock
I don't know.
Go.
Yeah, I don't know what necessarily that means. Right. As in, he needs to get in shape. I don't know if that means like he's got to nurse injuries or drop weight or anything like that. I don't know what that means specifically. Right.
Okay, let me get your quick picks for Extreme Rules real quick. So, Fight Pit, Riddle, Rollins,
Riddle,
Ronda Rousey, Liv Morgan, Extreme Rules,
Ronda Rousey.
You think they're going to go back to Ronda again, huh?
Yeah, I sure do. I think they'll go to Ronda, and then eventually she'll fight Becky at Mania.
Bianca Belair, Bayley ladder match.
Bayley.
Think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I quit match. Edge, Finn Balor.
Edge.
Think so, too. Strap match, McIntyre, Karrion Kross. That, to me, is probably the most obvious one to pick, but what do you think?
Kross. I think Kross needs a big win.
Interesting. They're billing this as the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match, Imperium against the Brawling Brutes.
Whew. I would go, because they got the title match. I think whoever doesn't win the title match, so I'm going to go with Imperium, actually, but Jesus, I can't wait for this.
Yeah, they're going to beat each other pretty good.
Now they'd be great.
They've only announced six matches. Do you know if there's plans for anything else? Obviously, there's going to be the White Rabbit stuff. But
so, yeah, I was told that they'd like to keep them to eight matches, but they also like to keep a crisp pace for this. So it wouldn't surprise me if they just added like one more in there. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But I don't think they'll go that much beyond that. But damn, I'm so excited for that. It's going to be a good show. And you know what? You know what, Jimmy?
What, Sean?
The Brawling Brutes and Imperium are going to beat the crap out of each other. They're going to be feeling rough the next few days. They might have to change things like their diet and their schedule. But with athleticgreens.com/Fightful, they're going to get all their vitamins. Because one scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients that include a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more. In one convenient daily serving. It fills those nutritional gaps in your diet, supports energy, supports focus, aids with gut health and digestion. I love this. You want to drink your multivitamin. You don't want to take a tablet that passes right through you. And you know, when you're traveling, as much as I do too, you got to make sure that you get those nutritional gaps filled in your diet. And right now, when you go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful, they give you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs. That's what I use when I am on the road. I can just open them up, drop them into my drink, drink it up, and I'm good to go for the day. Keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. It's got less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. One of my favorite things about AG1 is how often they change. They have changed over 50 times over the last 10 years. So every few months, they are adapting with science. Whenever they figure out that something works better for you, they adjust it to help support that healthy immune system, to support that aid or support that gut health and digestion. Very, very important. Vitamins, minerals, dairy-free probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, athleticgreens.com/Fightful.
And when we do The List Goes On today on Fightful Select, you know how last week we were talking about toys and not wrestling figures?
Were you getting an adult Happy Meal, Jimmy?
No, my wife did, though. She got one yesterday. Are you?
How was it?
I think she just got like chicken nuggets and they gave her like a little Jenga game, which is just a piece of shit thing, you know, cardboard thing, basically. But anyway, The List Goes On this week. Sean and I last week talked about toys with a wrestling theme of some kind.
Yes.
And this week on The List Goes On, I'm going to show you some of the ones that I have because I took the time to take them out of the cabinets. So we'll talk about that later. Okay. I want to talk to you about another AEW topic to get your opinion. So Dave Meltzer put a spotlight on this recently. The ticket advances for most of the upcoming AEW live events have not been great.
Yeah.
And I took to Twitter to ask people, why do you think that is? Why do you think that the ticket advances have been poor for most upcoming AEW live events?
I bet I know the answer.
So there were multiple answers, predominantly. One was they've burned out markets.
They're the same damn places over and over. Our friend Cher Delaware was like, you know, I'm thinking about coming to the Cincinnati show. And I'm like, why the hell would she come to the Cincinnati show? That's like a 5-hour drive, 6-hour drive for her. And I looked at the schedule. They never go to the Midwest, besides Chicago.
Right.
But like, what about the people that regularly want St. Louis or Kansas City or Indianapolis or something like that? Like, they don't go there nearly enough. Then I'm like, I don't know why more wrestling companies don't jump on this, Jimmy. Save your West Coast southern cities for the winter, for the love of God. That way, when people go there, it's warm weather. They can pack lighter. It's easier to travel in and out of. You don't have to worry about getting snowed out. And save like your Chicago's, your Newark's, and all that stuff for the spring, the fall, the summer. Like, to me, it's common sense. Maybe it's common sense. Maybe somebody will come along and tell me, like maybe a Raphael Morphy will hit me up and say, this is why you're dumb. I'm explaining it to you. But go into the same markets over and over and over. That's how you burn stuff out. Look what New Japan did with the LA Long Beach market a few years ago. People didn't want to go there for a while. Hit the West Coast for the love of God.
Well, you remember before All Out on this podcast, we talked about they booked the same venue in Chicago for Dynamite that week, for Rampage that week, and for All Out. None of them were sold out the week of the show.
Yeah.
And typically that used to be like an immediate sellout. None of them were sold out. And it was pretty clear it's because they were burning out the market.
Yeah.
So that's an obvious one. And especially when you look at Toronto is a new market for them and they sold out Dynamite. Seattle is a new market for them and they're probably going to sell out Seattle. So the markets is one. Another problem I think they're having is for some of these markets, they will book a separate Rampage taping in the same venue. And they've already preconditioned the audience to not give a shit about Rampage. And so, for example, Toronto next week, Rampage is not sold out in Toronto. Dynamite is, I believe, Rampage is not. And that's a trend in a lot of markets because people just don't care enough to go to Rampage, especially in the same venue that just had Dynamite. That's another one. Some other answers that people gave on Twitter that I want your opinion on. Some said not enough engaging storylines. Some said not enough marquee names. And then the Rampage thing that I just talked about. What are your thoughts on that?
I just wish they would try new places, at least see, like they're doing Pacific Northwest. I'm so happy about that.
Seattle, yeah.
I mean, I'm not in their shoes, so I can't necessarily say, oh yeah, do this with Rampage, do that with, because I don't have access to all the data that they have. But to me, it seems very simple. Go something different. Somebody says, I'm getting an indie ticket on November 30th. Didn't even realize they were going there, but I might be there as well. I might end up going there. Chris Rain says, WWE's been to Indy 3 or 4 times. AEW comes once a year at the most, and it's always in November where it's freezing. Exactly. Do that go there in September. Go there in April. Cyclops says, I go every show in DC, Baltimore, and I'm burned out. the same places over and over again. If Moxley wasn't from Cincinnati, I certainly wouldn't be going to Cincinnati for AEW shows once a year. They wouldn't be going there. Mm-hmm. They'd be going somewhere else.
Why is it that when Rampage is a Friday night 10 o'clock time slot show that does on average less than 500,000 viewers a week, why do they do a separate taping for that? Why don't they just tape an hour worth of Rampage on Dynamite? Is it because of dark?
Well, I think, yeah, because they got darks to fill out and stuff like that. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they use both tapings to get, because they got elevation too. So they use both tapings for all of that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. We have a couple more super chats. Jake Kohler says, thanks for the shout out. Hope to meet you in Charlotte. A tier content always. Well, I'll only be in Charlotte to fly to Toronto. I'm trying something different instead of going up to Cincinnati and driving the hour and a half up there, getting there an hour early. I'm going to try to roll out of my bed about 50 minutes before my flight takes off at this ghost town of an airport. Go to Charlotte, then go to Toronto. Hopefully my connecting's hit, but I will be in North Carolina as is tradition for WrestleCade this year, as long as all works out. But hope to see you there. Nicholas says, what if they make Seth beat Bobby? And then the storyline is Bray and Bobby, because I feel Bobby is really credible and over right now. You know,
Bray and Bobby in a programming.
Bobby is a guy that I think would matter as well. I think I don't dislike that at all. I think that's pretty good.
Have they ever worked match?
I'll look.
I don't recall.
I'll look. But guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We got about 10 minutes left in this show. But remember, tonight we have the post AEW show that you can send super chats, humper chats in. How about this? This week on Fightful, I interviewed Sean Oliver, who is one of my favorite interviewers of all time. Really inspired like my style of interviewing. This week also, I interviewed Speedball Mike Bailey ahead of Bound for Glory. Love that talk. It was a really, really good one. So check that out. But we have post shows for everything. I am not seeing a single Lashley Bray Wyatt match.
It doesn't sound familiar to me. It doesn't sound familiar. Going back to Sean Oliver, you know, I'm not a massive podcast guy, but the one podcast that I find myself watching clips on YouTube over and over and over again is Kevin Nash with Sean Oliver. And I know that some people, you know, might not like Kevin Nash because he's opinionated. I do too. I really like Nash a lot.
Yeah.
I find him to be, he might be the most intelligent pro wrestler of the last 20 years.
Oh, buddy.
You know what I mean?
When they had him on Fox News in light of the Benoit thing.
Yeah.
And they thought they were getting the big, dumb, steroided out wrestler.
Yes.
And what they got was college educated, very successful, well-spoken businessman, Kevin Nash. Because they tried to hit him with a gotcha. They're like, do you think you should be steroid tested like athletes? He goes, no, we're entertainers. What are you thinking? And she's going off about roid rage. He's like, she goes, have you taken steroids? Because I have. And I don't think that you're very, very knowledgeable about this. So
was that Nancy Grace?
No, it was a fill-in on Hannity and Combs.
Okay, because I remember Nancy Grace when they were doing the Benoit thing. They had a list of wrestlers. Yeah. They had a list of wrestlers that supposedly died from steroids or from whatever, and Owen Hart was on the list.
Yeah.
Because that's Nancy Grace. You know what I mean? No, I really like Kevin Nash. I find him very intelligent, and he's so chill, too. He doesn't get rattled at all.
I was so close to getting an interview. I saw that...
I saw
that somebody else got an interview with him. Then I was like, how the hell did they get that interview?
Oh yeah.
So I hit up the people that set it up and they're like, yeah, let's do it. Then I got word that he wanted to like only be accessible on that show, which I understand, but I was like, damn, wish I would have got it before because Oliver and Nash were my favorite interview combo. Like that's what inspired my interviews more than anything else. I want it to be lighthearted and informational,
right?
Like, so Sean Oliver and Ariel Helwani were like my two biggest inspirations, period. And I did get to interview Sean Oliver this week, which I'm very happy about. A little thing that he won't remember, but in 2016 I reached out to a number of people. I think even Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, Sean Waltman, but Sean Oliver was one of them, about being a co-host on the post Raw shows.
Oh, really?
And he's like, you know what? He's like, I'm thinking about it, but that means I'd actually have to watch the shows, and that doesn't sound that great to me.
Right.
Graham says, loved your interview with Sean Oliver. Shout out, Tej. Joseph McLean says, if the payoff for White Rabbit is Saturday, what happens and what part of the show do you think it happens? I think there's a significant reveal there. I don't know if it will be the payoff.
Maybe the puppets or something.
Yeah. And Jim Wright says, I do have a Sean Oliver vibe in my interviews. I wish I could be as good as him. I know it's not my strongest suit, but I need to do more. I like doing them in person an awful lot now, but I'm going to sit down and do more interviews with some talent virtually as well.
The good thing with him too, sorry to cut you off, is him and Nash, you can tell that they're buddies in real life. Mm-hmm. And so they play off each other really well. And Oliver will joke around with them. And they are good. It is, like I said, probably the only podcast that I will seek out clips on YouTube.
Cyclops says, got to get a Too Cold Scorpio interview. Bro got to. Yeah, I do. He's honestly probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He was my favorite wrestler for a very long time. I went to a Black Label Pro show last year, Jimmy, and I didn't know he was on the card. And I remember my friend Xenia walked up to me and she is like, you are in awe right now, because I had no idea that he was going to be on that show and I had never got to see him live. So that was.
Did you get a nice signed 8x10, Sean?
I didn't. I don't ask people to sign stuff. There was one time, and we still haven't done it, but the Jeff Jarrett guitar that I have that broke, Jeff has agreed to smash it and then sign the pieces at some point, and then we'll probably auction them off.
That's cool. That's cool.
K775 says, who do you think will be in the war game match? Bloodline and somebody else for sure. And then Damage Control and somebody else. That's gotta happen.
But no red versus blue.
Exactly.
None of that bullshit.
That's done. Yeah. But we mentioned Bray Wyatt. I wanted to bring up the fact that Fightful Select broke this news yesterday, and it's a big piece of news. WWE hired a new director of long-term creative, which is a role that they've probably needed for a long time, Jimmy. Rob Fee, who is a big wrestling fan, is a successful writer, has a lot of friends in the business as well. A Kentucky boy, I understand. More even though the positive reception that I've heard for him being involved, this is to oversee the continuity, the sense of the creative. They have long needed this, Jimmy, but the guy that they had on top, on Vince McMahon, just wasn't that. Bray Wyatt, however, does have some connections. In digging around and finding out this news, I found out that Rob Fee last year pitched directly to Nick Khan a Fiend movie, and it seemed like it was going to happen. And then, unfortunately, the release happened. Now, if WWE was going to make one movie, the Page movie obviously was a successful one. That was a brilliant one. The Fiend one makes sense. Low budget, high return, high yield. You're going to get that money out of people. But I think this is a great position to hire for. They need somebody like that.
Interesting. What was the Kane one called again?
See No Evil. It did well, too.
It did. It might have been one of their top grossing films.
I think Fighting With My Family was the top, because See No Evil was a budget of $8 million, box office of $18 million, so that's pretty good. The Marine, as I look, I think it did $22 million, but Fighting With My Family was like one of the big ones, as I see.
Wasn't it a Rock movie, and then he just kind of partnered with WWE kind of thing or something?
Yeah, but I mean, still, they'll take what they can get.
Still executive producer or whatever.
$11 million budget, $41 million at the box office.
Interesting. Did you see, I'm so going off the rails on this one, but it just popped in my head. Did you see Matt Damon on Hot Wings talking about the movie business?
No, I'd love to watch that, though.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So he basically said that in today's market, you cannot put small movies, like small artistic movies, in the theater. He said all you can do are the big budget movies. And the way he explained it was, whatever the budget is for a movie, they typically spend the same amount on marketing.
Yeah.
So now you have to make X amount back in order to break even. Then he said that the distributor makes half the revenue, meaning the movie theater makes half the revenue. So for example, if you put $50 million into a movie plus $50 in marketing, that's $100, but you split with the theater, that means that you got to make $200 to break even.
Oh my God.
And so he was talking about how the movie business is so changed. When you just talked about revenue and gross profit,
a lot of it's a rights fees business these days. Like that's the
nature. Yeah, it's very different. And he, the other thing he talked about was, he said that it used to be that DVD was your second stream.
Yeah.
But now they don't have that.
They don't have that now?
No.
I mean, I've found myself renting movies more than I have in 15 years, though. But, and also because it is so accessible. But Joel Wood says, who do you think returns to WWE in the next 2 months? Do you think Tony maintains his hardline stance on not releasing anybody? Seems kind of risky. Yes, I think he maintains his hardline stance. I think he should. Contracts mean something. I think Bray Wyatt returns in the next 2 months. That's what I think. I think he's coming back, and I think I don't know if we'll see Naomi and Sasha, but I hope so. They need them too. Nicholas says, do you see Charlotte coming out at the end of Liv versus Ronda? I hope so. I think the roster, especially SmackDown, could use her an awful lot too. I think that would make sense.
Feels like she's been out forever. What was her last match?
It's been a while. I mean, she got rode off to take time off and get married and stuff.
Was it Mania?
No. It was like in May.
It's been a while.
Michael Taylor with a very generous super chat. Big thank you for this. He says, online, Eric Rowan has been posting items for the White Rabbit too. With Eric and Bray being friends, do you believe Rowan will return? I don't.
Maybe cameos.
I think cameos would be good. I don't know if that would be a fit. I would love to see Cross, Braun, and Bray. Like three guys who can be perceived as top guys in one stable. I don't know if Rowan can be that. But also, if you want Rowan to have a new partner, that could fit in too. If you're looking to lean him into the tag division. I don't think so, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Honestly, I think if Bray wants it, I think it'll happen. I think it'll go down.
I mean, Sarah did the Viking Raider segment, so it's always possible for him to, you know, just show up here and there if he wants.
And with Triple H, all that type of stuff is far more of a possibility than it was before. But reminder, guys, leave us a thumbs up on this video. It helps us an awful lot. Jimmy, I also saw that the Great Muta was on your list. I just want to say the Sting thing meant an awful lot to me. It's the only thing that made me say, I wish I went to New York, because the first image of professional wrestling I ever saw was Ric Flair standing on one turnbuckle, Great Muta standing on the other with a huge cage around them, and Sting scaling that cage. All three of those people are still active, technically.
Yeah.
But seeing those two, Flair's hair did it for me. That was like, wow, that's cool. But it was the two face painted guys that I saw that made me go, what is this? I'm never going to stop watching it. What did you have on the docket for him?
So January 22nd, Pro Wrestling Noah is going to do a Great Muta retirement card in Yokohama, Japan. And they've announced that he is scheduled to team up with Sting, which is cool because Sting is definitely his biggest American rival. I was introduced to him along with Inoki and along with Fujinami and all these other guys when WCW had the partnership with New Japan in the late 80s, early 90s. Muta, if you are not familiar with the Great Muta, aside from the guy that you see now, the guy that wears the mask and all that, if you're not familiar with the Great Muta from the 80s and 90s, look him up on YouTube because he was sensational. He's the first wrestler that I think I ever saw that worked two characters at the same time. Sometimes he was Keiji Muto, which is his real name, and he just wore trunks and had no face paint. Sometimes he was the Great Muta with the pants and the face paint and the mist. And he reminds me of Kenny Omega. You know how Kenny Omega can go from 0 to 60 in a flash? Muta could do that. He could move. He's a deceptively big guy. And he could move really, really well. And if you look him up on YouTube, look up the springboard elbow in the corner, which was amazing, and the running elbow drop. I wish somebody does anybody emulate that today, the running elbow drop like he does?
Here I say that Kenny Omega's like mannerisms are based off of it. I think that the people's elbow was inspired by it. Like
somewhat.
Who does it? Me. Every day. Me. Every day when I jump on the couch, I do it. Oh, that's who does it.
So it's not a foreplay thing for you. It's when you're going
to
watch television.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. What's it to you? Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. List goes on Fightful Select. I'm also going to have a bit of the backstage reaction to the Andrade Sammy thing on Fightful Select. Again, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. If you signed up, don't forget, Your thing lapses 1 month from when you sign up. It is no longer the old Patreon method of, you sign up on the 5th or 6th and you get billed again on the 1st. We got that out the door. We were one of the first Patreons to have it on anniversary billing. We're back here tonight for post AEW, but list goes on, Fightful Select. We're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.